On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed and Odyssey podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
We have the unfortunate pleasure, I guess, of having Reggie Miller on the call all freaking series long. Now, Reggie Miller, you talked about this yesterday. Yeah. I was not here with it. Yeah. Did you play the clips at all from him?
No, and by the way, just a little backdrop, because this came up last week when we found out who would be doing it. And it doesn't bother me as much as it bothers you, but then I saw Reggie messing around a little bit, and I'm like, didn't love that, but just to get everybody up to speed.
Okay, so yesterday as I was walking to the surgery place or whatever, I saw this on Instagram. Go ahead, Zoo, play this clip of Reggie Miller here.
This man was part of some of my favorite basketball growing up. Just an absolute...
No, he was the main one that was saying Reggie sucks. He was one of the main ones.
But you were amazing.
True New Yorker. You were amazing. See, I love the honesty. That's why I have a love-hate relationship with New York, because they keep it real and they're true.
Okay, so now, after I see that, I immediately texted Hoff saying, hey, you got to get us Reggie Miller. It's not Reggie the Indiana Pacer anymore. Mm-hmm. It's Reggie the broadcaster for TNT. Loves New York, respects New York, blah, blah, blah. He's doing the game. He's doing the series. It should not be that much of an ask. Right? Hoff says, okay, he's going to look into it. I get a message back from Hoff saying TNT appreciates.
Yeah, we got it. We saw it this morning.
Okay. Politely decline, whatever it may be. I took matters into my own hands.
Okay. What did you do, AI Reggie?
No. No. I got Reggie's number.
You did?
And I texted him.
Okay.
And here's what I said. Now, knowing what he just said about New Yorkers, right? You ready for this
one? I like the ambition. Very good initiative right here. Good stuff, man. No, I'm with you.
I use my contacts. Yeah. I was like, my multiple sources. Was able to get it. Reggie! 3! Sal Licata from WFAN. I hate you, but I respect you. This is word for word I'm reading. Uh-huh. Your Pacers are going down! Come on the Fan tomorrow. This was yesterday. To talk some Knicks Pacers. Our show is 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Fire emojis, meaning like, come on, we're
ready.
Bringing it.
Yeah.
P.S. Starks own you. Now, I would think.
That's money. I'm sure he didn't respond to that yet.
He did not. Now, this was yesterday, and this was before I was going in.
Yeah.
And then I did, when I got out of the surgery, I was like, all loopy and out of it, and I checked. It was red.
Okay, I was going to ask the next question there. So he did read it.
So he
read it. Reggie's ducking us.
So here's. Reggie doesn't want the smoke, BT. You nailed it. Reggie doesn't want this smoke.
Reggie's afraid.
Dude, come on. Now, I've only had this once before with Chipper Jones, where I reached out to him and basically said the same. Bro, I couldn't stand you as a player. Called him Larry. But he left, came on, was like, I love you guys from New York. Let's do it. Had him on my radio show down in the minors. He was really cool. I think we even had him on The Fan not too long ago. I thought Reggie would respond in that same way. I thought he'd be perfect to come on with you and I today.
Reggie's getting a little too highfalutin. He can't mix it up in the... he can't slum it up anymore.
Now, do you think if I changed the tone of the text, he would have...
I think it's a perfect tone.
Okay.
I love the tone. Because if he's being truthful with what he said, that's why we play the video there. And that's obviously why you're playing into it with the tone in which you did. Listen, you could have very easily written, hey, Reggie. Hey, Reggie. It's Sal Licata from WFAN. Just wanted to reach out, see if you're available. Me and my partner, big Knick fans. We have blah, blah, blah. Yeah. We're on from 10 to 2. We can accommodate you, whatever. But
talk,
of course
talk
you could have...
No.
Get your perspective, even get your national perspective, even though, you'll possibly slant it with whatever you're going to slant it with. No, I love that you did that because it was a little bit of an antagonization. Ooh. It was a reminder that we're here and you're not.
Yeah, BT! Same energy! Good. But I was a little surprised and a little, I don't hurt maybe too strong, but like, come on, Reg.
Yeah, Reggie's talking a big game these days, but maybe the shoulder's not as broad as we thought.
Exactly right. And just wait. And now I'm thinking, because Reggie did not respond, but he read it.
Uh-huh.
Now maybe we could have a little fun throughout the course of this series. 3-point goal.
Text him during the game.
Well, I don't know.
No, look, he's coming back from commercial break. We've bombarded with emojis. He's looking at his phone. He's like, that's from us.
Selfies of BT and Sal in our Knicks gear.
Oh, like, my God. Don't rule it out. There is one more step that could be taken.
Yeah.
It is 11:06 here on the day of game one.
Yep.
Reggie himself has inserted himself into the story by the IG.
Yes.
So we're not out of bounds here, right? I think if he doesn't respond, I think you shoot him one more text. Hey, Reg, just circling back. Would love to have you on. Hit me up. Like, short and sweet. So now he knows we're serious.
Do I say like don't want the smoke? Or,
No. That's where I'll come in.
Yeah, calm me down.
You're gonna take me in a minute.
All right.
You already laid the foundation. You like where I'm going. You laid the foundation. Circle back. Short, succinct. Boom. Just see if he wants to come on. If he doesn't respond, and do it next break. If he doesn't respond by one, now I tag in, and I hammer him.
I think that might be
honestly. I'm not gonna cry. I'm gonna be respectful. Like, hey, Reds, come on! I mean, you talk a big game. How much you know the
now
Knicks?
He's gonna be getting. Now we're gonna harass Reds. Hold on.
WFAN duo indicted for harassment account. I'm serious. I'll jump into this. He's got to come on the show. He can't be strutting around our city, and then he's got a chance to come on the largest sports radio station in the country, and he don't even respond.
Come on, with two diehard Knicks fans.
Small.
Right? I figured Reggie would own up to it.
Weak.
He's doing, and
Rick Smith would respond.
The message, Rick Smith, exactly right.
He's
Dale
respond.
Davis, the Davis brothers,
sure. And then Shrimp might pop in.
Like the response that Hoff gave us from TNT, because I go, all right, what's the exact quote? Because I'm going to bring this on the air.
Politely declined. I read it, and I'm like, all right, it's not coming.
So
up.
So then the exact quote was, "Hey Pete, no, unfortunately, he's all tied up covering the series."
Oh, thanks what is he? I'm sure he's. I'm sh- yeah.
Come on.
He. Well, here's what Reggie's doing right now.
He's on a bike on the lower west side or whatever it is.
Yeah. That may have been downtown Brooklyn. I'm not exactly sure. But either way, talking about you like the promenade.
I thought it was downtown on the west side, but whatever.
It could have been. I looked at it quick, and I heard it more than I actually was paying attention to the visual. 11:08, Reggie probably, I mean, maybe he just ordered in a $119 breakfast, you know, a couple of boiled eggs, you know, a little toast maybe. In his $2,500 a night hotel that TNT is paying for. And maybe he'll stroll around Central Park and put on a $4,000 or $5,000 suit, a $25,000 to $50,000 watch, gear himself up. He always looks nattily attired. Reggie has all the time of the world.
He's all tied
Reggie's
up.
Not watching film right now, I could promise you.
All tied up covering the series. And then the part that really bothers me, and I do, like, obviously I was partially kidding in that text with Reggie and joking around with him. But I do respect him, but I also don't want to watch him this series. It's Reggie. I don't, at the very least, TNT better not make it about Reggie the way that they did a year ago. Mm-hmm, I don't need that. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Knicks here on the verge of going back to the NBA Finals, rivalry with the Pacers, you know, home court, four wins away from a finals appearance. I don't need the Reggie Miller story and to relive that and him and Spike. I want to just enjoy the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah, and he doesn't strip away from my enjoyment. I get it. You know, there's just the villainous nature of Reggie's relationship with Knicks fans. And Reggie's the kind of guy, like, he's got a little Eddie Haskell in him. God almighty, that's the oldest reference that I've ever had on the show.
I only know him because Eminem raps. Is that a Leave It to Beaver?
It is. Okay, it is. You remember that show?
Vaguely.
I mean, it came out in the 50s. Yeah. I remember like seeing it in syndication. Right. Actually, I really liked it. But Eddie Haskell was the buddy who would come over that the parents didn't trust. Always up to something, but a good kid. And that's Reggie. Reggie's Eddie Haskell. I don't think there's a malicious bad bone in his body, but he's a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
And he's slippery. Like, you can't get your hands, even when he was, like, fighting through picks, whether it's on the court or with his mouth, he could always escape things. Like, he is just a slick, tough customer. But let's not make him out to be Michael Jordan. He's got no championships.
But that's, you're right. He's slick, tough customer. That's why I wanted him to come in.
Well, that's why I thought he would. Maybe he's not as slick and as tough as we thought.
I figured this would be right up his alley.
Doesn't seem like he's
mix it up with the guys from New York.
Well, again, I'm so with you. Now, if he's doing the Pacers broadcasts and not national, maybe he's more inclined to do it. But again, he inserted himself back into the story yesterday. So it's not that he's trying to avoid making it about himself and tying in the Knick.
And New York. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, so he leaned into it. So lean on with the Midday Crew. We'll treat you nice.
BT and Sal.
We really will.
Reggie. 3-point go. Jalen Brunson. It's a game. Yeah, I'll send the emoji. BT and Sal on the Fan. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Omar is in Brooklyn.
Oh,
what's up, Omar?
Yeah.
Good morning. How are you guys, man? Listen, I cannot, from Friday to this day, I can't stand. I just feel younger. 1991. This is the time. You know what? The feeling is when Michael Jordan was around that there is an assassin that can take it. Right now, we just have a feeling that there is a game. Everybody has that feeling. 3 minutes remaining, close game them, we are going to win. This never has this feeling. Next, my last 30 years, I never have this feeling that we are winning this game and it's close. Boston Celtics and the way they dethroned the defending champion. Never in Knicks history you can go and dethrone a defending champion. Like when you dethrone a defending champion, when you are odds on favorite to lose the series, here it is. That tells you that they are mentally, physically, and they are wired up to take over the range. They are the NBA champions, and the step today, one step again, and we are going to, all the Knicks fans are going to celebrate every day the way they celebrate Friday. This is going to be a march going into the NBA Finals. Let's go! The strike begins! Yes!
There you go, Omar. Now, the one thing I will say about Omar there, or to counter one of his points, I don't personally have the feeling of the Knicks dispose of the reigning champs.
Yeah. In some, now, if he's doing the Pacers, bro.
In some great... stretchy 3-point well, go, Joe.
The NBA champions and the...
Whatever that is on the air there. There we go. Okay.
Yeah, good thing you weren't doing scared something the hell out of me at first. Untoward back there, Dove.
Okay, let me gather my thoughts here for a second. The one thing that Omar said that stuck with me is that he said the Knicks dominated the NBA champion, former NBA champion, disposed of them. I don't feel that way. Yes, the Knicks beat the reigning NBA champs. Yes, they beat them handily, certainly in Game 6, but I feel like there's an asterisk there because of no Tatum. I'm not taking away from what the Knicks did, but I don't look at it as they slayed the dragon, you know, the way maybe the Knicks would have felt if they beat the Bulls and Jordan back in the day. Even beating that team without Jordan still felt a little...
Yeah, it did. It did. You know what I mean? Yeah, so
this is similar.
Bit.
Now, you're not apologizing for it. You're not giving it back.
No.
But I don't feel like you could... you know, pump your chest out and be like, yeah, we dismissed the champ the way that the series went.
The crazy thing is, like, you think about just how elusive this championship's been for the Knicks in 73. And, you know, all the titans of the game that the Knicks tried to go through, and primarily Michael Jordan. And the NBA is one of those things where it's very rare that you have some random champion. You know, maybe you want to say, like, the Pistons in the mid-2000s with Larry Brown. I talked about that team the other day, Ben Wallace and Chauncey. Not anonymous to me because I worked there and I covered those guys, and I love the NBA. But, you know, not Bird, not Magic, not Shaq, not Wilt, not Russell, not Duncan, guys like that. And not Jerry West, not Clyde. But the Knicks, like, if they win this series, and let's just say they beat the Thunder or even the Timberwolves, they really, and this is not to diminish it in the enjoyment, they really would not have beaten a benchmark marquee team the entire way.
Right.
And how many times could you say that in the history of the NBA? Not very often. And again, to your point, it doesn't matter.
No, you don't apologize for that.
Absolutely not. We're not giving it back, and we're not there yet. But it's an interesting possibility.
Brad is in Mineola. What's up, Brad?
Hey, buddy.
Guys, we are truly, and I apologize for missing this the last time, we are truly halfway to an NBA title.
Yeah.
I am loving everything that you're saying today. I cannot wait for 8 o'clock tonight. I agree with Sal. I think this is not a physical series. I don't know what that guy was talking about before. But at the end of the day, if the Knicks play the way that they are supposed to play, they win the series in 5, and I want the Thunder. I know you guys want the Wolves, but I want the Thunder. And the reason why I want the Thunder, we're not going to talk about this now, it's because they're young, and I think they're beatable. But listen, I have to tell you a personal story. Obviously, I'm a huge Knicks fan. I told you everything the last time. My son just turned 1 year old. Every single time I turn on the Go New York, Go New York, Go song, all he does is clap.
Oh,
and he
nice.
Smiles, and he watches the games with me.
Yeah.
And I'm loving every second of it.
Oh, it's the best.
Go New York, Go New York, Go.
Yes, sir.
Brad, love the passion right there.
That's money stuff, man. When a kids first start getting into the teams that you love, and they really get, even though he's 1, he doesn't really get anything yet, but he's bouncing to the music, and then before you know it, he's going to be 2 and 3, and Santa or Hanukkah, whatever holiday you celebrate, a jersey comes, and then you got the next wave of Knicks soldiers. Like I texted you Friday night.
Yeah, you know, exactly right.
The picture.
Now, have you taken Colt to a game, not a playoff game, just a Knick game in general?
I have not. I know. We've done everything with Jets, obviously Johnny's a million times, Yankees 50 times-ish.
No, what...
Were you in when I thought you were in? Maybe you weren't. I had it set up where, right? Okay, when KP hurt his knee.
Yeah.
That was against Giannis and the Bucks.
Yeah, you told me.
I told you that story. I was going to do the whole thing, and I presented my dad with a Christmas gift, a picture of Clyde, a picture of Ewing, and a picture of KP. And the theme was three generations of Knicks fans, my dad, myself, and my son. And then KP got hurt. I'm like, I'm not going to a game without KP with the rest of these stiffs. There's no way. And then by the time he got back, he was gone. And then life got in the way and games every weekend. The answer is no.
I think Daddy's got to maybe take Colt to an Eastern Conference final.
Oh, come on, man.
Rice balls will get you in.
I turned down tickets for tonight. It was just too expensive, man. 17 each?
1,700?
Yeah.
Each?
Yeah.
I mean, I'd hope you turn them down. I mean, what the hell's going on here?
I mean, that's a little much.
1,700 for game one of the Eastern Conference Finals?
Listen, I don't think it was like in the... I know it wasn't in the top 10. Like, they were decent seats, but yeah, 17 a pop. I'm going to drop $4,000 to go to a game?
No way.
I mean, that's just a lot.
Zoo said the get-in price for tonight is $600.
That's what he said, but again, these seats were pretty good.
Well, right.
Yeah, I mean, could you get in the door? I don't know. We could check. I'm not a real secondary market guy.
Right.
I just know Rice forever, and he was trying to do the right thing, which I appreciate, but...
Oh, so that was through Rice Balls?
It was.
Rice Bowls or Rice Ball?
Rice Ball. Plural. Who just wants to have one Rice Ball?
Yeah, Rice Balls.
Yeah, have a bunch.
Rice Balls is trying to hook you up $1,700 each.
Yeah. Face value.
God. That's the face value
for these seats.
Must have been a really good seat.
Yeah, I'll show you the screenshot after. Yeah.
Dude,
I forget the section.
If you drop that on tickets, I'd be like,
I'm not.
You have to go back to the office here.
Right? Go renegotiate. No, I'm not. You know, the truth of the matter is, I really am conflicted with this stuff because I used to go to the Knick games all the time. God, I want to feel this energy, and I you know, certainly with my son who loves sports and my whole family, but I miss stuff. Even at the Yankee game last night, it's a regular season. It's not the big deal. I'm half watching the game. I'm talking. I didn't really watch the Yankee game last night.
I get it.
You know?
No, and look, you better probably going, truth be told, especially when you're talking about taking your son, I get that it would mean a lot to go to the Eastern Conference Finals, but he doesn't care. He'd be just excited to go to a regular season game next year at the Garden and Knicks game.
I don't know. He's getting used to St. John's Big East tournament. He's getting used to some stuff. I hear you.
Yeah, I mean, well, then fork up the... you're going to have to sacrifice. Maybe sit up in, you know, like Evan's seats on the bridge or something. Maybe it's not 1,700.
Yeah, I can't be in the same proximity of Evan. Not because I'm above it. I just don't want to be near him.
No, I think he's selling.
I don't want
he's
his net stank to get on me. really. And I don't diss the Nets. More his... His anti-Nick sentiment residue kind of spilling my way.
Somebody called the morning show today talking about the Nets. I'm thinking like, bro, you got the wrong number. This is a New York sports show. Boomer and Geo. Somebody called this morning talking about Giannis going to the Nets. And I was like, what
just
the hell?
Just a random one?
Yeah, random call about, hey guys, love the show. I'm a big Nets fan. You're going to get Giannis? And I'm like, what?
I'm sure they spent 5 minutes breaking down Giannis to the Nets. How quickly was that dismissed?
Yeah, exactly. They dismissed him. all right, we'll get back to the calls. You got to get your story in about Carlisle.
I got it written down.
I actually do have a story that I want to get into about the ticket stuff. I just didn't want to waste it there with a couple of minutes ago where I got offered to game 5. But I got to go through it with you. We also have 3RQ coming up at 11:40. Very busy show. And we haven't even gotten into the Met stuff and Soto yet. I do want to...
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed and Odyssey podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Get into the baseball stuff a little bit, BT. I did not have the chance to talk about Soto yet again yesterday. I know we did it all day Monday, but that was more reacting from the Subway Series, not about the lack of hustle and all this stuff. And you asked me on Monday if I could go back and do the contract again, would I? And you thought for sure that I would say, yes, 100%. And I didn't, right? I wasn't sure. I was like, I don't know. What was happening is, now that I had a day to digest it and think about it, the insecurities were creeping in. And I don't want that to happen anymore. And it's not going to happen. Coming off of the series with the Yankees, and I was there Friday night, so I felt the force of the Yankee fan. I saw Soto not embarrass himself, but obviously not have anywhere near the impact that I expected. The insecurity started to creep in. Then you heard all the stuff about, he wants to be with the Yankees. Michael Kay comes out with his report.
Mm-hmm. Bob Klapisch had something.
Klapisch. We went over the Klapisch article. To me, now it's gone overboard the other way. And I think that it was feasting on the reason why the story may have had some legs, at least from my perspective, it was feasting on the insecurities of Met fans. Worst fears coming true. The guy signed with us, but he misses the Yankees and wants to be there. And maybe there is some truth to that early on. But think about this. How many relationships have we broken up in or whatever or moved on where it was like, I missed that or missed this. And then eventually you move on. You realize, you know what? it wasn't that good, or there's a reason why I made this decision. I'm not trying to minimize the Yankees. I'm just giving you an example. There's a reason why Juan Soto made that decision. Even if it's for his family, there's a reason why he made it. There's a reason why he felt comfortable. It wasn't just because his mother said so. Like, maybe his mom said, hey, we prefer this because of the family. So look at all the reasons why he chose the Mets. He came ultimately to that decision. And could he be questioning it? Could he be doubting it maybe? Could he not be feeling himself just yet? Sure. Eventually, he will. Because he's Juan bleeping Soto. And they're playing a game of baseball in which he happens to be terrific at. So I'm not letting the insecurities creep in. And I'm trusting that eventually, now I can't say when that's going to happen, eventually Juan Soto is going to look like Juan Soto. And all this stuff, which I believe is legitimate, is all going to be forgotten and be for naught. Like, there are some ridiculous things going on. Trade Juan Soto to the Yankees or Soto. You know what I mean? Like, all this stuff.
I don't want him.
Yeah. Well,
I would turn that down.
It's a different perspective from the Yankee fan.
Yep.
I mean, Soto's the one guy. The Yankee fans are, you know, they don't want him back. Soto doesn't want to be with the Mets. Mets fans maybe want him out soon. Like, it's just chaos right now. But ultimately, if you seep through those insecurities, acknowledge them, and understand they're real, and I really do believe that that's where it was coming from, a place of insecurity. Like, come on, this is the one guy that we stole away from the Yankees that we want to be ours, and now he misses them? Like, that's that, you don't want to hear that. But I don't think that that's the true case, and I think ultimately Soto will be just fine. Also, on top of that, I think the stuff about the hustle, to me, has been overblown. I don't even care about that. Just make impact hits, go hit home runs. I don't care about the hustle.
That's where I'm going, because I think the other stuff part is going to resolve itself. So, use the word chaos before. And, you know, it's one thing for a story maybe to have more legs than it should. We've been through that song and dance with certain things in this city for sure. I think the reason it's morphed into chaos is because he's making it worse. If his body language was better and if he was actually hustling down the line, we would not have chaos. We might have a little bit of a situation. We might have some questions. It wouldn't overrun the news cycle, which it has for the last 2 days, and that's what he can control. You know, you were out yesterday, obviously. Mm-hmm. You know, I say this all the time. People are probably tired of hearing it. Hey, control what you can control. I tell my kids that from, you know, the first time they could really understand what Daddy was saying. And even at their age now, I think sometimes they still don't understand it, which drives me nuts because I say it all the time. Control what you can control. Well, all right, you know, if the teacher is this, well, you can't control that. Up makes a bad call. Can't control it. How hard you run? Yep. How long you study? Yep. You can control that. You know, do you make your bet? Yep. I can control that. So what Juan Soto can control, he's got to start controlling, because once he does that, then I think the other stuff dissipates.
Right, but the guy's not,
I really do.
He's not Pete Rose. I mean, give me the prime example. There are two examples that people are hanging on to as far as the lack of hustle. By the way,
talking about the Sunday night play with up the to the right of DJ LeMahieu, yeah, okay. And obviously out of the box the other night. Yeah. Well, that was the one, and then of course off the monster. Those two,
correct. So those two. But before we even get into that, did we once last year? Now I'm not saying that you know, we watch every second of every pitch for both games, especially during the summer, take some time off, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Was it once? Refresh my memory. Ever an issue about Juan Soto and hustle with the Yankees last year?
No, but because the production was phenomenal,
okay,
and you can put up with that stuff. But that's why we didn't get too mad about with Torres. But then he started becoming a 250 hitter. Like Labor, you got to start running.
But my point is that it's not like Juan Soto has a history of not hustling. This is who Juan Soto is. I don't need him to bust it out of the box, especially on a ball that he thinks is gone.
It's a bad look, Sal.
It's a bad look because of what happened the night before.
Exactly.
But even that, I can come. Like, I've seen plenty of players before who I don't think are hustling. Head down.
We've seen it with Vientos this year.
You've seen, well,
early in with the Marlins series. Yeah, remember that? Yeah, we talked about that.
So to me, that's a little different than what I saw Sunday night. Now, you know, in real time, before they even play the Red Sox, in real time, I was like, I don't have a big issue with the Soto play. He hit the ball, you know, it was a half-ass swing.
Yeah,
he was full. Hit it for yard, but whatever. And I think it was more just like he was frustrated with himself with the at-bat. And then he realized almost immediately, like, he didn't dog it out of the box and walk down the line. He realized midway through, if not immediately, I got to start running here, and he did. Okay, was it the best thing? No, but I don't think it was a big deal. The Boston game, and again, I'm not making an excuse. I'm just telling you how I see it.
Mm-hmm.
He hit a ball that he thought was gone, and it hit off the wall. He should have been at second. Here's also what shows
me. I know he stole second, but that's not the point, though.
No, it's not, but it does show me that his head's in the right place because he knows. Like, people had issue with him saying afterward, no, I don't think it's an issue. He knows what he did wrong. And if there is a real problem there, I know that Carlos Mendoza is going to be the right guy to fix it. But I don't see a lack of hustle problem with Soto. I see a lack of comfort, a lack of production, a struggling problem.
Okay.
I don't think it's a lack of hustle.
Okay, now think about this. Sal might not think there's a lack of hustle. I happen to do, but say right. If I agreed with you, then Brandon might not think there's a lack of hustle, but Mendoza does. He said it. He said, yep, I see it. We're going to have to talk to him. So to me, when the manager, and I gave him a lot of credit for handling that yesterday, like there were two ways to go. He's fine. Or, hey, that's basically you got to be better. And I thought Mendoza showed why he's probably going to be here for a long time and be a very good manager because he owned it. He was transparent. Don't lie to us, man. And I didn't hear the open to Evan and Tiki show yesterday. So when I got in the car, I had to make a call. But I saw some things on social, and that was Evan's reaction. And I agree. You know, Evan's like, you can't lie to us. Like, when you try to lie to us about something that is so patently offensive or true, and when you don't hustle, that is offensive for the outrageous prices that we pay. You can't have it. So I would have preferred that Soto said, hey, you know, just almost shows some vulnerability, but he never does that. He's very robotic, which is fine. That's part of his greatness right. From a hitting perspective. But I was concerned, Sal, whether the noise was too much and unfair. There was noise going into the first game against the Red Sox based on what he did out of the box on the base hit, or almost hit up the middle with DJ when he snagged it, right? You would think just common sense, human nature says, all right, I got to wake up a little bit here. I can't will a ball over the fence, but damn it, I can hustle down the line. And he still didn't do it. That's not good.
But it is a unique.
That doesn't look good.
It is a unique circumstance where he hammered the ball off the monster. Even Mendoza, who said, yeah, I got to talk to him, said that in that spot, he thought he got it. And like, it wasn't. To me, that was just an error in judgment as opposed to a lack of hustle from Soto.
And Pete did the same thing.
Yeah.
And then Pete got thrown out at second base.
Yeah, so did anybody. Anybody ripping on Pete Alonso for it?
No. Oh. But we did rip him on the throws and the flip to first base. And Pete's also got more equity here. Juan Soto's a slightly above average player for the New York Mets.
Well,
Pete Alonso broke the rookie home run record with 53 bombs.
But those are two different things.
I know they are, but he's got some equity is all I'm saying.
But my point is that, yes, you can criticize him for his production. That's what I have been first, more so than anybody else. Criticizing him for lack of hustle to me is just piling on and unnecessary. We can see it two different ways. Sure.
No, for sure. But, do you think it's unfair for us to do that?
I think it comes
from... Or unnecessary, because those are two very different things.
Well, then why are we piling on Pete Alonso?
Maybe you should.
Okay, fair enough. Then I'm not going to get on him. Again, I think he made a mistake. But if we're going to get on Juan Soto for it, why not Pete Alonso? Then every player that you watch every single night better be busting their hump out of that batter's box. And they don't do it.
I know.
And it's okay. Certain times it's glaring. Certain times it's necessary. For me, it's not necessary with Juan Soto. And I think these were two examples that had circumstance behind it. That's all that I'm
saying. Listen, I get it. And we obviously have different views on this, and that's fine.
Yeah.
I think that to me, you know, my consistency with this is I used to just eviscerate Gleyber Torres. He used to drive me nuts. You know,
because he did it repeatedly.
I know. I got no tolerance for lack of effort. I understand, you know, sports are hard. We simplified on the radio. Come on, hit a home run. Why are you hitting 230? Because it's hard. That's why I'm hitting 230, okay? We really know that. When we actually look at it intellectually, it is very hard what all these guys try to do. Yo, Jalen Brunson, we love you, but, you know, you shot 4-for-17. Why? I don't know, because I had a 6'6 defender, and they were draping a double team on me, and they move like the wind, and they jump out of the gym. Him. That's why. I get it. But you can truly control effort. And the one thing about Juan Soto, Sal, is that, you know, he's got to be aware that the Met fan, they saw every night what he did for the Yankees. They saw it. And, I don't really think that he pimped too often without it going over the fence. But when you're hitting 246, whatever it might be, and I do believe he's going to be better. I think we all do, much better. It's been a lackluster presentation of your level of engagement and your level of at least perceived, to be fair, perceived happiness. You got to change the narrative. And the first way you do that is by getting those people who are jumping in now, you know, ready to stone you in the court of public opinion. Oh, he doesn't even run now. Just run, and the noise is going to get more quiet.
No question about it. Unfortunate timing. And I'm not trying to make excuses, but I just saw it differently.
On my podcast, A Spy with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow A Spy with Emma Greed, an Audacy podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
Three random questions.
Let's find out.
With Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata.
One, two, three.
On The Fan.
Hi, BT, as we do every Wednesday, 11:40, a little 3RQ, three random questions. Number one, how long do you think you could last without water? Meaning no other drinks, but water specifically.
I'd have to do a little medical research. I mean, I know that there is actually an answer on that.
You personally. I mean, I'm sure that there's
I hear you. I drink a lot of water. I really, truly do. And I'm sure that's the nature of the question there. Well, I see you guzzling a lot, too.
Well, yesterday, the surgery. So they say, like, you can't have
anything. Oh, yes, if you have anesthesia.
Right.
You have to prep the night before.
I had to stop whatever food or drink at midnight the night before. My surgery was not scheduled until I had to show up at 11:30.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it wasn't scheduled until, like, well, I don't know, even an hour and a half after that. So by the time I actually had something to drink, it was like 3 or 4 o'clock.
I mean, the truth of the matter is I'm sure I could go months without it. I mean, I would think, like, if I mix in, I'm not a big soda drinker. Like, the only time I drink, excuse me, the only time I really drink soda is if I get...
Luke, sounds like you need some water right now.
Yeah, that's true. We were yelling at the game last night. I would say this, so...
Yeah.
Soda, only if I have, like, fast food once in a while.
Right.
You know, like a little orange soda or something like that. Maybe once in a while with pizza or calzone, but we're not a soda household, and I'm certainly not a soda person. I think I could get through on a pretty good combination of Powerade or, water-based drinks.
If I said no drinks, like, for me...
You want me to die in the desert? I got to drink something.
No, but I'm saying, like, if you were trying to fat, like, I could go without food longer than I could without water. Like, if you said to me I couldn't have any kind of liquid, whatever, you know, Powerade, Gatorade, whatever, water, that would drive me nuts. I need water. First thing I do when I wake up in the morning,
I'd be too. I have a bottle.
I would drink. Yeah. Last thing I do before I go to bed, water. Like, I love drinking water. So they're like, you must be starving. I'm like, not really. I need some water. Can you get me some water, please? I'm dying of thirst. So that would be my biggest issue. I could not last long without water. But I could probably go a couple of days if I had to without food. Water, like, I think a day or two.
I think you could go much more than you think.
Really?
Yeah.
Without water?
I mean, but again, what's...
No drink, no liquid.
Well, again, nothing.
No liquid.
Well, I think you'd have to have some bananas, like potassium, I believe, is good for hydration. I think that there's ways to circumvent you dying.
Yeah. Well, I don't mean literally, like, physically
dying.
Yeah,
I know what you mean.
All right, number two. Would you rather be a heel or a good guy in wrestling?
Heels have a lot more fun.
Halliburton, the reason why I came up with this question, Halliburton, you know, Halliburton and Brunson were involved.
Yeah, of course, the WWE angle.
He was saying something like, when growing up watching wrestling, I always wanted to be a heel, and now he is.
Well, I think the heels have the ability to cut the absolute best promos. Like, to me, the heel is setting the tone, and the good guy, the babyface, is kind of reacting to the heel's verbal takedown. I think, just in terms of generating the pop and the heat from the crowd, I think being a heel is so appealing. I mean, to me, it's not really close. It's heel.
So growing up, when you were watching wrestling, I know you loved Piper. That was one of your guys.
I loved Piper. I loved Macho Man. Now, he was both.
Right.
I did love Hogan, too. Hulk was, you know. So I had a little bit of a mixed bag there. But, Jake the Snake, when he was a heel. But I'm talking about when he was a heel. Loved him. I'm kind of more of a heel guy.
Yeah, I would lean good guy. Back then, good guy. Now, as I get older, I understand the fun.
Yeah.
Potential heel.
The psychology of it.
Yeah, exactly.
No question.
But I think the appeal there would be a face, as they call
That's
it.
That's a good question.
Guy. All right, last one for you. And this is really the money question. Mm. This is a real-life situation. So Saratoga Wills, who I've referenced many times, my good buddy lives in Saratoga.
Yep.
He is a big Knicks fan. We went to game 4 together. He bought the tickets. Face value got them. Him, his wife's brother, and me, we went to the Garden. He was looking in the Eastern Conference Finals tickets, and I'm like, dude, it's like, I got to draw the line somewhere. So, like, we never agreed that I was going to go. And I get a text from him on Monday saying, Eastern Conference Finals, you in? And now I'm like, all right, well, how much?
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, don't worry about it, my treat. For Knicks game.
I was saying, treat for what? What'd you do for him?
Well, I mean, no, nothing.
I didn't know you guys are buddies, but I mean,
that's it. We're just friends. So this is the dilemma. So now I know that he paid for it, and he's like, I wasn't even going to tell you the price, but I got the price. Good seat, same seat we're in last time, 200s, row 2 or 3, whatever it is, behind the basket, but a great seat.
We paid
$500 for the round prior. $1,000.
I was going to say $1,100. Yeah, okay, so close. Okay.
$1,000. He's like, don't worry about the money. I got it.
Okay.
Do I take him up on the offer?
Yeah, how good of a friend is he?
Great friend.
Does he have any kids?
No.
I thought you said no, right?
No, no kids.
Absolutely. Take him up on it.
What does the kids think have to do with it?
He's got no financial responsibilities. What is he worried about?
He's got big financial responsibilities. What? He's an adult. I mean,
he's whatever. He's got no kids to worry about.
But I just feel like we're that close of friends where, you know what I mean? Like, it's too close of friends to be like, oh, thank you for doing this kind gesture of $1,000.
I know, and then you send him like a bottle or something. Yeah. I appreciate what you did. You know, it was very, very kind. No.
Right. Here's a case of Surfside. I mean,
yeah. Well, I think.
I mean, I do that quite a bit.
I know you do. I know you do. I think what you do is, yeah, you always stack the car with the surfs, but when you're going
when
up
going
there,
Saratoga,
you talk about that and you pound them when you get there. I would say there's always a way to reciprocate. Now, it might not have to be immediate. Is he a big golfer? If he's a big, even if he's not good, does he enjoy golfing? If he's an avid golfer in that sense, take him to a course that's, you know, the greens fee is $300. You know, get him on a nice course. And there's another way to scratch it, you know?
I know, but a part of me can't let him pay that much. But the other part of me is like, I don't want to pay $1,000.
Nah,
I do want to go. Game five could be a clincher. Game five of the Garden. I do want to go. I was like, what, 800? I was hoping maybe 850. And even that is like astronomical.
Yeah.
But now I feel obligated to go, which is exactly what he didn't want me to feel. He didn't want me to know how much it was.
Oh, maybe he did.
Didn't want me to feel obligated to go. He's like, don't worry about it.
Maybe he did. Maybe that's his plan.
No, he genuinely wanted to treat me.
I know, but maybe that's also his angle here by kind of pulling you in and making you feel guilty or making you think about it a different way. That's his way of making sure you show up. Maybe right. Smarter than you think.
Well, I definitely think he wants me to show up. That's a given.
All right. You know, you said his name, so you don't have to answer these questions if you don't want. You didn't say his last name, right?
No.
Okay, good.
Well, I mean, Saratoga Wills. His last name is Wilson. Didn't give you the first name.
There you go. Does he make good money? Yes or no?
I think so.
Like,
yeah,
good money.
I think they're doing well. Him and his wife do very well.
Just then, come on. I mean, I don't have any other follow-up. I'm done, Your Honor. I'm good. He has no kids. He makes good money, which means he's not stashing away 529 college fund money or paying for nursery school or playing $3,000 or $4,000 for a travel baseball team or $400 for a new bat. I mean, come on.
I know, I guess. I just feel, you know.
What?
I feel bad. That's a pretty significant.
I know it is. But you have something that.
A generous.
It's
offer.
Very generous. It's very. Even if he has a lot of money, I'm just kind of messing around. But that's very generous, no doubt. See, but you have something that that money can't buy. You have access to the sporting world, so you could eventually supply him with an experience that he will not be able to replicate through money.
Yeah.
You got to be piped in and hooked up, and you are. And is he a Mets fan?
Yeah, huge Mets fan, yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I've taken care of him before.
Okay, how about this?
I get him like a Terry Collins signed ball or something.
I was going to say, how about, when's his birthday?
September.
All right. Why don't you have maybe Terry personalize a nice video? I mean, you know, instead of going on Cameo and having them drop $400 or $500 for it.
It's a great idea.
Come on, to personalize. That's what I'm saying.
I could ask TC to do like a, what was the name of the ump that he got on? One of those type videos.
Oh, that was a great one, too. I'm forgetting
Happy
the ump.
Happy birthday, you bleep, 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 bleep.
That was a good one.
That'd be a great video. Good
idea. I don't know if he's a huge Todd Zeal fan, but Todd Zeal, Reyes is in studio once in a while. Get Reyes together. Put together a little video montage. Let's go.
I know. Well, I've done a lot of these things before.
You have.
And maybe he's paying it back in his way.
Well, there you go.
I think he knows that I probably wasn't going to bite at the $1,000 just because, dude, it's ridiculous. We just talked about it before. You're talking about $1,700.
I got to get the exact answer. Yeah, finish your thought. I'm sorry. I just want to pull this up here.
But he wanted me to go, so he didn't want to feel obligated to have me pay. But anyway, I appreciate the gesture.
Are you
going to
go?
I'm going to the game 100%.
Oh, so you are going?
No, I'm going to the game. I just don't know if I'm going to pay it.
Ooh.
Like, I'm probably going to end up paying it. You know what I mean? Got to sell some more of my figures off.
It's a rookie move, man. All right, so I'm looking.
Somebody offers you something, you take it.
I'm looking at some seats here. This is what I was offered here. I mean, I don't know how you're getting this price here. Section 213, $1,200 a pop. Section 213, row 7, $1,875 a pop.
Yeah, those are. So he. I don't know. Maybe he's lying to me. Maybe it wasn't even maybe it was more than 1,000.
Well, maybe I'm getting lied to and I'm getting hosed. Someone's getting cut.
What section were you?
It was section 213. Good. What were you again? 221?
No, I don't know what it is. It was behind the basket, whatever it is.
I'm looking at it now. This is.
I got to get the exact location.
Behind the Knick bench, obviously up and along the baseline. Not behind the basket like you were.
Okay. So that, I mean, being behind the basket.
You were probably 216 or 217 or 215.
I think 217 might
sound
right.
Yeah, I'm looking at it. 217's directly behind the basket.
What did that go for?
I don't know. I just have the screenshot of where my seat would have been if I agreed to get him, which I did not.
Maybe we'll. Take
Maybe I can come with you, buddy, too. He's that generous. Giving out tickets here.
BT and Sal on the Fan. We'll come back, reset down with the King topic of the day, and get to your Knicks calls, 888-808-1019.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed and Odyssey Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.